This is Phil Farron. And I am driving around. I will be home at some point, but I'm finally getting my little car looked at, and I'm gonna get the power steering fixed, hopefully. So no more groaning after tomorrow. Hopefully. We'll see. Anyways, so yeah. That happens tomorrow, which means that I'm going to be dropping my car at the church, hopefully getting a ride home with my kiddos here in just a few minutes. And then I'm going to borrow my kiddo's van tomorrow, which doesn't normally get driven much. So that should be interesting. I'm really hoping that that's going to be okay. So it'll probably be fine. So just a second. Let me just real quick here do this. Yeah, so I think I mentioned that my schedule was going to be changing. We implemented that schedule change this week. So I think, when was it, on Tuesday, and then tomorrow as well, Dustin is going to be bringing down Aiden at 5:20, 5:15. And then we're going to hang out for like an hour, and then I'm going to take him over to the before school program, and then he stays there until 5:45, and then I go pick him up and bring him back, and then Dustin follows on pretty quickly after that and comes and picks him up. But Aiden's a fast little guy, and apparently they've lost him a couple of times where he's out the door before they can see what's going on. So they have given Dustin a form to fill out so that he can fill out this form to request an extra helper. And so the school system will actually pay for an extra helper to come in, which is nice. That will just keep an eye on him. So he's going to have his own assigned guard. So, yeah. So all is well. So it's good there. Work was fine. We were just working on a bunch of stuff. There's one of the projects we're on is just all kinds of shifting requirements. I mean, it's just so interesting because it's like, and what happened today? So, but we're going to get there. Everything will be fine. We're going to get there. And so we've got those things going, and we're starting to make the move, the physical move. I don't know if I even mentioned it, but they had renovated some offices for the missions team and the programmers. We got all moved in, and then they sold the building to Springfield Public School System. So just after everybody got moved into their brand new offices, everybody was kind of enjoying the new digs, the announcement came, we're moving you again. So we've been in for several months. We will be in for several months more, but the database people moved today. So they were right outside my door, basically. And so it was kind of nice having them that close, you know, have little conversations here and there, and ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. And so they're gone. So There you go. There is actually an offer that was made to me to move into the database, the lead database administrator's office, which is the whole wall of windows to where you'd get natural light. And I have actually thought about it, but we'd have to move the desk out there, and the problem is once I got used to that natural light, it would be like, oh man, moving back in a cave afterwards. So anyways, you know, we'll figure that all out. We'll figure it out. But it was good. It's good week of work. Writing is fine. I'm doing the read through for book 21, doing the beta read through. there's a little something that's going on. And let me just say, beloved grandkids of mine, if in the future, however many years it is, 20 years, if you are looking through summaries of these podcasts, and or if you ask the AI, was there ever a time when Poppy actually spoke direct to us on the podcast and this pops up, just understand that all involved had nothing but the highest regard for you all, and we were all working as best we could to the optimal future. So we're in an interesting changeover time. The kids are getting older. Asher specifically really does not like doing the covers, you know, which is fine. That's just fine. Clara is happy to do them because she likes the money. So, and that's fine. That's fine as well. But there has been some question in my mind moving forward as to how long this was going to last. Could we get through another four books? Which is 21, 22, 23, and 24. At the same time, there was a lot of interest on my part in what really could be accomplished with artificial intelligence. And so sooner or later, I was going to experiment and see where it got us. I gotta say, it's pretty impressive. So to kind of give you an idea, to do a cover in the way I had been doing the covers, I would start a couple of weeks, sometimes 3 to 4 weeks ahead of when I needed to shoot the pictures of the kids to integrate them into the covers. 3-4 weeks ahead of time, I'm starting to look through pictures. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm trying to say, okay, if I bought that picture and this picture and this picture, then maybe we can composite these two together. And depending how many pictures I'm compositing together, just the pictures themselves, to composite all those together, first of all, there is a cost. You know, it's $10, $12 per photo. And there have been covers where I've had 5-6 photos that I've been compositing together. And then there's the time of actually doing the compositing. And, you know, that can be a day, getting all that composited together. Then, of course, I have to buy the costumes. And, you know, depending on the costume, it averages out somewhere maybe $50. Per child, so there's that cost. And then there's the additional finishing and getting the cover all put together, and so you're looking probably at another day. So multiple days work, $100, $200, somewhere in there, cost. And there have been some discussions that I won't go into deeply the reasons for them, but there have been some discussions about how we move forward with the covers, etc., etc., etc. And so just kind of on a lark, I knew enough about what was going on with AI that I just decided, you know what, let's just see. So I had been just experimenting, because this particular cover, the nursery rhyme is Old King Cole, and in this particular book, 21, the leader of the realm at this point, you know, was going to contribute, and I'm not giving anything away because this is strongly hinted at in book 20, was going to engineer the destruction of a planet. So, I'll just leave it at that. So, the idea was a dystopian city, you know, with ruined buildings, on fire, as a king looks on with his back to the camera. Okay, so I go out to Bing Image Creator, And I say dystopian, post-apocalyptic cityscape, ruined buildings, on fire, with King standing in the foreground with his back to the camera, wearing a robe and a large crown. Okay, so it generates its four images, dingy, 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 ding, and it takes whatever, 30 seconds, 45 seconds. And one of them's just pretty good. It's just pretty good. I'm looking at it going, oh, okay, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And the king, in this case, would have been Asher. That's pretty good. So I look at it and go, okay, fine. Since it's Old King Cole, then I was going to do, you know, Old King Cole was Merry Old Soul. Merry Old Soul was he. He asked for his bowl and he asked for his pipe. And he asked for his fiddlers three. So there's supposed to be three fiddlers. I just decided I was going to do one fiddler. So then I asked Bing. I just put it in, you know, create an image of a female jester playing a violin and dancing. And I think I had to tweak that prompt a little bit. But literally within 5 minutes, it's got this female jester dancing. And it's a very pretty rendition, you know, gorgeous costume and, you know, lovely young lady. And the only thing was, is that apparently ChatGPT, somewhere along the line, it ended up thinking, or it doesn't think, somehow inside the black box, the idea arose, or just made it out that this young female fiddler was so talented that she could actually rest the bow on her thigh and play the violin and bow the violin, which I thought that was hysterical. So I just thought, I'm using that one. So I had these two images to start with. And then first thing I needed to do was upscale them. So I just went to a free upscaler, an AI upscaler, and ran them through those. And those sharpened up the images, gave me more resolution to work with. No problem, no cost on that. And then I decided, okay, but I need this square photo converted into a more oblong photo portrait so that I can make a book cover out of it. And so I had asked in the cityscape for the Milky Way to be present. And it had made a Milky Way, but it was kind of down behind the smoke of the buildings burning, and rightly so, it had diffused it. And so I drew an extra box on top of the cityscape to put it to the correct dimensions for a cover. And then I just said, smoky, starry night, include Milky Way. 20 seconds goes by, boom, there it is. I mean, it blended it all together, created the Milky Way. It lined up the Milky Way with the other Milky Way that was in the image that it had generated. I'm like, what? What in the world? And so then that image didn't have a place where I could put the dancer, and so I just took it into another thing called Open. The first one was Pixel AI, I think, something like that. Took it into another one that had in painting and out painting. And the out painting was what had out painted the starry sky and the stars. And so then to do in painting, all I did was I had an open spot on the painting where there could be a platform for someone to dance, but it looked like it was way down below and I didn't want that. I wanted it on the same level as the king. So I just take my little brush and go over the top of this area marking where I want this platform to be, and then I just typed in platform for dancers. And it just goes kaboom, boom, boom. Made me like three images. I get to the last image. The last image is fine. It's just a flat spot there. I can do the thing. So, yeah, then I take my dancer and I put it on the dancer on there. And I'm looking at it going, you know, that is really not too bad. And then I just brought the pieces into Photoshop and composited them together with Photoshop. And I had asked it to make the background on the dancer transparent. And it did a gorgeous job. I mean, it was just poof, did, done. You know, 15 seconds, where it would take me an hour to do that by hand. I said all that to say that, like, within 2 hours, I had a book cover, absolutely, that I'd use. And the only reason it cost me any money at all was because the upscaler, I needed to get bigger than what the upscaler wanted to do without having a paid subscription. So I spent $10 to get access to it for a month. And then I needed to get, that was Pixel AI, and then I needed to get OpenArt. They had some features that I was wanting, and it was $15 a month, and so I just went ahead and signed up for that. Ta-da. So basically, for $25 and access to these tools for another month, which I won't use them because I don't think I will. I don't have anything else to use them with. And a couple hours of work, I saved myself days and probably $75, $100. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. Of course, now we have to have some continuing discussions about what we do at this point. Because of the original discussions that spawned all this, it is highly likely that I will be going with the AI cover. And so we just gotta work out kind of the political dynamics of that. We'll get that done. It'll be fine. And then chances are, once I retire and get a little extra time, chances are I'm probably just gonna go back through and redo all the covers, because it just doesn't take any time at all. And I can get covers that are exactly what I'm looking for. I mean, whatever the image is in my mind, I can literally get that, because I can just get the base image in, and then I can extend it, and I can go to any spot in that base image and highlight stuff with a little tool, and then say, make this there, and it will just make it there and give me a bunch of variations, and then I can pick the one I want, and I can just keep going. And then when I'm ready, if I need to, I go into Photoshop and just composite them together. And the reason that I want to do that in Photoshop is then you put a vignette on it, and it does this gradual dark to light to whatever focus you want to make for the book. But what it does is it smears together all of the inconsistencies that you have in lighting, and all of a sudden it looks like one shot. And it's just like, boom, and there it is. So yeah, that was interesting. So we'll see how that works all out. It'll be fine one way or another. So that's the writing. The writing's good. Costumes are good. I got the pulchritudinous pool noodle pterodactyl pretty well done. I just have to mount some sunglasses, and that's ready to go, which is good, because that's not this week, but next week, so that's good. And then I'll be going back to the time traveler stuff. And so I expect to get back to that this next week, and start doing some experimentation with some things, and we'll get that under control, and then, you know, we'll start moving forward. I'm a little bit, not out of sorts, but I'm a little bit off schedule this week, because normally by now I have tried on the outfit for the week, and things just got a little crazy this week, and I didn't get that done, and we had a small group leaders meeting, and that kind of threw things off a little bit. So I'm a little bit behind, but you know, it'll be fine. It will just be fine. So I've got to run home, and I've got to try on the stuff for I was thinking about something else. Got to try on the stuff for Labor Day tomorrow, which is Rosie the Riveter in a muscle suit. So that'll be fun. That's always a fun costume. People seem to enjoy that, so that's good. So all is well. All is well. It's just amazing. All is well. So today, I had listened to a podcast that was really excellent, and I won't be able to do a ton on this, but I highly, highly recommend this podcast. It's a Jordan Peterson podcast where he was speaking with Logan Lansing, L-A-N-C-I-N-G. It's episode number 473. And he was talking about a book. It's the second book that Logan Lansing has written called The Queering of Our Children, I think. The name of the actual podcast is The Unholy Essence of Queering. But it was excellent. They went into the background of the philosophy behind these things and how that we're in this really interesting time that the ideologies that are driving the left seem to be Marxism and postmodernism at the same time, which is really interesting because postmodernism claims there is no overarching narrative, whereas Marxism puts forth an overarching narrative. But as they went through it, it was really interesting. And the author of these books actually said when he had heard Jordan Peterson say for the first time that what was happening was a postmodern neo-Marxism, you know, he said it really took him back. But then when he went and he did the research and stuff, he, you know, eventually became convinced that there was that. And in fact, what this particular writer, Logan Lansing, does, he says, I'm not writing about these things. He said, all I did was just go back and read everybody's stuff. And he said, I read and I read and I read and I read. And once I got it all read, then I just wrote down what they wrote. So it is really interesting. I need to check to make sure this is still going. Yes, it is. Okay. It is really an excellent thing. And one of the interesting things is he explores what queer theory is actually trying to accomplish. And it is very similar to Marxism, because Marxism in the last, like next to last line in the book, says basically we need to forcefully tear down everything that's ever existed. That's Marxism. Because in Marxism, what you had was this idea that humans were both social and creative. And so by that, Marx was meaning that humans would always gather together in groups and then they would creatively adapt their environment. But the problem in Marx's mind is that every you do that, that group then is going to impose some norm on everyone. And in Marx's mind, that was the problem, is that these norms were being applied, like in Marx's case, that you really do need to bathe every once in a while, because he didn't bathe at all. And so his idea was, no, it's incumbent on the people who are out of power and who are weak, who see a better way, it's incumbent on them to tear down everything that's normative so that they can reestablish themselves. And so there is this idea in it. And they're talking about the fact that the queer theory is really about attacking, just flat out attacking anything that could be considered normative, because that's where the oppression is. And Jordan Peterson and the author of this book spent a lot of time talking about the different approaches, quoting from people. And it was really, really very interesting to get a very clear indication as to what we're up against now. And so I heartily recommend it. Let's see if this summary helps any. So at about the 30-minute mark, The summary that I have says the speaker discusses the concept of queer theory and its relationship to postmodernism and Marxism. According to the speaker, queer theory is not essential, not an essential identity, but a call to action for those identified as queer to abolish normality as private property. So the speaker criticizes the use of terms postmodern neo-Marxist and accuses them of hypocrisy for rejecting meta-narratives such as Judeo-Christianity while accepting others. The speaker argues that Marxism is a philosophy of resentment and that postmodernist metastasis of Marxism has expanded the focus of power differentials to various dimensions, including ability, height, attractiveness, wealth, and even gender. The speaker clarifies that they have not changed their minds on this matter and that their understanding comes from independent reading. And so, yeah, it's really interesting. And it will give you, I think, a much better understanding of what we're really up against here. Because there's no, you know, people think, well, you know, okay, they have a right to their opinions and their, you know, and they have, we should, you know, listen to them and let them have their opinions. And I'm not saying we shut anybody down. But the fact is, this is a philosophy of resentment. This is a philosophy of us versus them. This is a destructive philosophy that believes in doing everything possible to be as destructive as possible. It's woven right into the definitions of what they're trying to accomplish. And they absolutely want to dismantle anything that is quote unquote normative. Okay, this is why you have adults seemingly sincerely looking at you and telling you how good it is that we have, quote, gender-affirming care, how good it is that we take children who feel slightly different about their bodies, that, oh, yeah, it's really good that we neuter them, take away any ability that they have to ever have any kind of sexual pleasure, and make them sterile, and just do these really highly destructive things to their bodies because their bodies are normative and those bodies need to be destroyed. So it's quite the podcast and it goes to some dark places, but I highly recommend it if you are trying to get a better handle on really what is going on here. And I like it very much because the author does not necessarily spend a lot of time pontificating about these things. He just says, this is what so-and-so said in this book. This is what so-and-so said in this book. This is what so-and-so said in this book. And they're all people who are recognized by the movement as being thought leaders. So he's not going and he's not finding some oddball, non-normative oddball out in the corner. He's actually quoting from the people who were very, very influential in the whole school of thought. So it's good. So if you have some time, give it a listen. It might cue you in on some things that exist out there. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it back to the church, and I'm going inside to see if I can bum a ride home. Have a great day.